Let us all say amen. I don't know about you. I want him to reserve a spot for me. And I just don't want any spot. I want the spot that's guaranteed me. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I don't know about you. Why sing something if you don't believe it? Why do anything if you don't really want to do it? And that's the way I am. I believe that that song there tells me that when it's all said and done, if I've done what he requires of me, I'll have a mansion, a robe, and a crown. That's why John, as he is in exile on the island of Patmos, would write these words to the seven churches in the Asia Minor area. In Revelations chapter 2 and round about verse number 10, John would say these words to remind the believer that in the midst of all of your trials and tribulations, in the midst of everything that you go through, you need to trust God, you need to depend on God, and you need to remain faithful till he calls you to the other side. And I'm learning, church, that remaining faithful don't mean Sunday and Wednesday. Amen, walls. I'm learning that remaining faithful means that my life is an example of what transpired on Calvary's mountain. John 3:16, we know it by heart, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Paul reminded the believers, those of those at Rome, Romans chapter 8 and round up, chapter 5 and round about verse number 8, Paul said, God demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. Boy, that's what drives me. That's what motivates me to know that one day I got to give up the ghost. And in the process of giving up the ghost, guess what? I'm not worried about it because I got a promise from God himself that he'll take care of everything else. And so on this time side of life, church, I can get excited. You know why I'm excited? Because he's given me everything I need. Amen, Walls. And I'm not talking about everything physically. He's given me a spirit that if I get out of the way, that spirit will guide me. It will direct me. And it'll help me to deal with you. Amen, Walls. Amen. I'm learning that when you really trust God and depend on God, there's not a thing on this time side of life we ought to worry about. But what are we worried about, church? Everything. Make me wonder, do we really trust and believe the God of heaven? I think it was the Hebrew writer that said something. In Hebrews chapter 13 and round about verse number 8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If he was then the Savior then, is he our Savior now? Amen. So what should we worry about? Nothing. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest to your soul. See, sometimes we think a vacation is rest. No, I just stopped by this morning to let you know that the rest that I'm talking about is when a man or a woman bathes himself with the word of God. Peter says these words to the believer. 2 Peter chapter 1 and round about verse number 3. Peter says, according to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us the exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Peter said, God given us everything we need. What's the problem? The problem is we don't understand 5 through 11. That's the problem. You're looking at me funny. Let me show you what the problem is. The problem is, and he says, and besides this, do it when you feel like it. Do it if you got the time. Do it on Sunday morning when the preacher want to talk to you. No, he says, and besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, I'd rather see a Christian live the Christian life than to just talk it. Amen. You know, there's a song that's out, talking loud. Some of y'all know, y'all don't back to sleep. and saying nothing. No, the true believer that understands that this virtues that I have in me must be virtues that abound. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind. You mean to tell me I got on four eyes and I'm blind? Yes, he is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten. That's one of the dangers of being a child of God. You come, you sit, you give, you do whatever you want. If you're not careful, you'll forget where you came from. Amen. Anybody here done forgot where you came from? Don't raise your hand, because I know. Sometimes I have to remind myself. I came out of the cesspools of immorality. I came out of the worst of worst. But thanks be to God who separated me from my mother's womb, saw fit to put me in the body of Christ. Church, that's why I do what I do. Because I understand what he's transformed me. He's transformed this old man to this new man. I love you in spite of you. Amen, Walt. Hey, because I've learned something. Because greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Verse number 9, he says, but he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and have forgotten he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brother, give all diligence to add to your faith. Wherefore, the rather, brother, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Verse 11 says, and so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse number 12, Paul says, wherefore I will not be negligent. Amen. It's my job to remind you that all of us are going to make heaven our home. And that's what scares me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and round about verse number 27, Paul says, after I have preached to others, I myself might be a castaway. That's what scares me. I'm trying to help you to get on the right track, and I get off the track. Amen. But I've learned something, church. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on the cross, because it's on the cross that where I can find refuge. It's on the cross that in the midst of everything that goes on, I can find some peace, some comfort. It's on the cross that I understand who I am. I'm an ambassador of the Most High God. How about you? How about you this morning? You understand what your ambassadorship is all about? You know, for the past, 9 months? For the past 9 months, we've been in this same text. And every time I look at the text, every time I talk to anybody about the text, there's something else that pops out of this text. We've talked about an ambassador has to be bold in his delivery. We've talked about an ambassador must be merciful in his delivery. And I want to show you something. A true ambassador understands something very important among all the other important things. A true ambassador must be prayerful. Oh, yeah, when you can't help me, and I have moments, when Sister Harmon can't help me, it's good to know that I can cry out, Abba, Father, and he hears me, and he takes care of everything that I need. A true ambassador must be an individual that has a prayer life. And I want to show you something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and round about verse number 17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. That means that the child of God understands, the ambassador understands. First and foremost, before I do anything in my life, you notice I didn't say Christian walk. In my life, I've learned how to petition God and get his advice, because God knows I've messed up a many days. You ever try to do something your way? What happened? It always gets messed up. But I've learned to put him first and petition him and ask him to direct me in my decision making. And I'm learning, church, that a child of God must be prayerful. Why? It is our direct line to the Father through the Son. Amen. Why do you think he gave us the third person of the Godhead? If you're walking around hurting and down out and feeling bad, that's your fault. Ooh, y'all looking at me funny. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. If you're having problems, Jesus says, come to me and I'll take care of you. You still having problems? James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Call the elders. It's in your Bible. I know we just don't follow it all the way. But church, I'm learning that in the midst of everything that goes on, the child of God, the ambassador of Christ, must be an individual that prays without ceasing. He prays for those he loves. He prays for them that don't love him. And when he has wronged or done wrong, he prays that God will not hold that against them. I'm learning this thing about being an ambassador is much deeper than what the surface says when you read it. See, as true children of God, in our ambassadorship, we must learn to be prayerful because it's in the Word of God. God's Word will advise us. It will guide us. It will direct us if we allow the Word to do what it's supposed to do. And in Philippians chapter 4, round about verse number 6, listen to what Paul says. Paul says, be careful. Another translation says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In this particular passage here, Paul uses a word called supplication. And most of the time, most people don't even know what supplication means. But I just thought I'd stop by this morning and give you a little background on what the word supplication really means. It means, and it's used in this particular context as a noun, no, as an adjective. This word supplication means that an individual earnestly desires or he begs for something, but he begs in the spirit of humility. In other words, if my prayers are going to be answered, I got to expect God to hear me. But how is he going to hear me? I got to have the right relationship with him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? In this particular text here, Paul reminds the believer that in everything that we do or say, we need to petition God. And I'm sorry that word supplication is used in the noun form in this particular passage. See, as ambassadors, we must understand that our prayer life is our direct connection through the Son, the Spirit, and it takes and makes known to God our request on this time side of life. God has given us His Spirit, and the purpose of His Spirit is so we can make heaven our home and to help someone out of darkness into a marvelous light. See, an ambassador is an example of prayer. He knows how to pray. He knows when to pray. And he knows and he understands that it is through God's will it will be done. And I want to encourage us this morning as we look at a couple things. I want to show you an individual here that had a connection with God. This individual here knew how he stood in the sight of God. But there came a time when someone told him something, one of the prophets told him, and he realized that he needed to petition God. And I'm saying this because if God's the same then, he was like that then, is he not the same today? So what's the problem? We really don't believe that he will do what he says. I'm going to show you an individual here in 2 Kings chapter 20. The king here is going to have some problems. He's a little under the weather. Matter of fact, he's sick to the point to where he's about to check out. 2 Kings chapter 20 and round about verse number 1. The Bible says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order. Boy, I wished I had some time to talk about setting my house in order. Some of us sitting here need to set our house in order. And you know, I ain't talking about making sure your burial policy is up. I'm not talking about making sure you got all your bills and stuff caught up. No, I'm talking about set your spiritual house in order. Because it's best that we don't know the truth and don't do what God says. The prophet comes to Hezekiah and tells Hezekiah, you're going to die. Your sickness, you're going to die. But you know what you need to do, Hezekiah? You need to set your house in order. The Bible says to set your house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. Then turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I walked before thee in truth and with a pure heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sorrowfully. Don't miss this. This is powerful. Here the prophet has told Hezekiah, set your house in order because your sickness, you're going to die. But I like Hezekiah because Hezekiah believed in the Almighty. And the Bible said he turned his face to the wall and he wept before the God of heaven. The Bible says in verse number 4, and it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out of the middle of the court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayers. Don't miss this. This is powerful here because, you know, you wonder why sometimes God don't hear your prayers. What kind of relationship do you? I know this ain't some popular stuff here because this is important, though. If I'm going to be a prayerful ambassador, I have to know what I'm doing and how to do it. Hezekiah here, over God's people, he knew that he was going to die, but he petitioned God. See, sometimes we report to God. Amen, Walls. You know, it's just like we report our sins. The Bible said before Isaiah left the courtyard, God said unto him in verse number 5, I have heard thy prayers and have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. And on the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. I believe that. I don't know about you, boy. When I see stuff like that, it makes me want to shout. Ah, you know why? Because if he's the same then, he's the same today. Y'all help me to figure it out. And I hear your argument, well, people still dying. I didn't say nothing about that. I'm saying that in the midst of everything, of the trials and tribulations, in our sickness, if we have the right relationship to God, we can petition God and God will hear us. Does that mean he's going to do it like Hezekiah? A possibility. He did it to him. Is Hezekiah any different than you and I? No. Still a child of the Most High God. I hear your arguments. Yeah, he's not in the church. Yeah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 25. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as are. I hear your argument. But I want to show you that Hezekiah trusted God to the point to where God heard him and had mercy on him. And because of his prayer life, Hezekiah was added 15 years to his life. As prayerful ambassadors, we must understand when to pray, how to pray, and understand that even in our prayers, everything is based upon the will of the Father. Church, I've learned that in the midst of everything that I do, I got to learn how to be prayerful. Sometimes it's difficult. You know why it's difficult? Sometimes I don't want to do it. See, because I'm honest with me. I don't know about you. I'm honest with me. Sometimes it's hard to pray. But Jesus says, don't he say pray for your enemies? Pray for those that persecute and belittle you. I read that somewhere. It's in Matthew chapter 5 in case you're thinking where it's not at. But an ambassador must have a prayerful life. And in being prayerful, guess what? He's patient in his service. Oh, yeah, I've learned how to be patient with God's people. You know why? You don't belong to me. I've learned how to be patient with my wife. You know why? Because he gave her to me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, round about verse number 24. A servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them acknowledging of the truth, and they may escape themselves out of the snares of the devil, who have taken them captive at his will. You know, when you're not walking in the light as he is in the light, guess what Satan do? He snatches you. And if you don't repent of your sins, he don't do anything but to help you to stay snatched up. See, I'm learning that a true ambassador of Christ, he's patient in his service. Not only is he patient, but he must be reverent in his prayer to God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes my kids come to me, Daddy, you need to do this. No, Daddy ain't going to do nothing. Isn't that how sometimes we expect God to take care of us? No, he must be reverence in his prayer to God. And that reverence is played out in his humbleness, in his state of mind, and his willingness to do what God requires of him. Let me show you something. 1 Peter chapter 5, and round about verse number 5. Look at what Peter says. Peter says, likewise, you youngers, submit yourselves to the elders. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exhort you in due time, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. See, I'm learning that in my prayer, I must learn to reverence God. And the way I reverence him is by being humble and submissive and petition him to do what I need to be done in my everyday life. Not only must I be reverent, I got to have the right attitude in approaching God. Oh, yeah. You know, if you approach me the wrong way, you might get that other man come out. Right. Don't look at me funny, because if I approach you the wrong way, the wrong man going to come out too. Amen. Amen, Walls. You know, the attitude in approaching God is the attitude of humble and being submissive and making a request to God and not demanding. You know, you may think, well, nobody demands things of God. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And when he don't come through, we kind of, I ain't going to serve you no more. Amen, Walls. And you don't have to say it. It's a demonstration in your everyday life. Philippians chapter 4 and round about verse number 6. Be careful for nothing but in everything through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. See, the ambassador is patient in his service. He has reverence in his prayer life. He has a proper attitude when he approaches God. And guess what? With that proper attitude, he yearns for the word. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He yearns for the word. And this word yearn here means he has an intent feeling, or he longs for something that he's lost or he has been separated from. How often do we yearn for the word of God? Or we just pick it up on Wednesday or Sunday. Oh, you don't pick it up at all? You got dust on the table? Y'all quiet this morning. I'm just telling you the prayer life of an ambassador. Not only does he yearn for the word of God, you know, and that yearning, you know what it does to him? It helps him to edify the body. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do what I do because the word of God drives me. It pushes me. It helps me to understand that my job, my responsibility is to warn you about what God's going to do, but it's also designed to build you up. Why do you think I like to lead songs? Oh, I like to sing the songs that take me to a higher plateau. And you're probably looking at me, he got his eyes closed. Yes, I got my eyes closed because I'm like Paul. I'm caught up in the third heaven. Amen. And somewhere down the line, either we believe what we believe or we don't. You know? And so I sing with the understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 15, Paul says, what then? I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. I don't know about you. I understand what's going on in this time side of life. I know that God is always in control. And so therefore, my job is to edify and to build you up, and also to remind you that when you ain't doing what God said, see, you can shuck and jive me all day long. But you remember that song? watching you. Amen. Now, somewhere down the line, that song has a meaning to us. See, he edifies the body. Ephesians chapter 4, and round about verse number 12. Listen to what Paul says. He says, verse 11, and he has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sliding of men and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15 says, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted about, by which every joint supplieth. See, when you're missing in action, you can't supply me nothing. Amen, Walls. I don't know who told you can come when you feel like, no, when you're missing in action. Guess what? You hurt me. What, could you imagine if I left my head at home this morning? Yeah. Or my brain. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted about, that every joint supplieth according to the effectual work in the measure of every part, may increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. See, when you're missing in action, you can't edify me. You can't build me up. That's why it's so important that we meet and be with one another. And that edifying, when we edify one another, guess what? We can resist that old fella. That's right. I'm learning that when I can hang with you, if you got the right mind, I don't have to worry about this old slew-footed fellow. Why? He has no say-so. And see, and I'm learning that requires us to come together as often as we possibly can. In James chapter 4 and round about verse number 7, listen to what James says to the church. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist, not assist. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Church, I'm learning in order for me to resist the devil, I got to stay in this book, and I got to hang around folks that's trying to resist him. Right. I assisted the boy for many years. And you know, from time to time, I help him out again. Amen, Walls. You don't have to amen it, because I know if you're living on this time side of life, you assist Satan from time to time. I don't care how perfect you might think you are. But from time to time, we assist Satan and we allow him to go. The Bible says in verse number 8, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. Why is James calling me double-minded? Huh? Why is he calling me double-minded? Because if you don't walk in the light, guess what? You will become double-minded. And see, and when you learn to resist the devil, it helps you to be faithful in your service to God and service to others. See, our faithfulness is what helps others to see the glory of God in our everyday life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 1. Listen to these words that Paul would write to this young gospel preacher. Words to encourage his heart, but at the same time, remind Timothy of what Timothy needs to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, Paul says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. And I'm learning, just because you come don't make you faithful. Amen. Just because you read your Bible, it don't make you faithful. No. He says, the things you've seen among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he might please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Paul reminds this young gospel preacher, in order for you to stay on track, you got to stay with the word of God, and then you got to hang with folks that want to hang with you. Oh, yeah, it's real easy to hang out at the bar. Told you about the parrot. Amen. He's faithful in his service to God and to others. That faithfulness
unifies the believer. That's right. When I see you come and you got this big old smile on your face like you the Joker, boy, you know what that does for me? That makes me know, ooh, we're going to have a good time. Well, maybe not.
It was the psalmist that said, Psalms 122 and verse number 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you ain't glad to be here, you might have asked yourself a question, what house am I in? Because the psalmist said he was glad to go into the house of the Lord. And I don't know about you, it does me good when I can come and be around God's people. You know why? I can really let my hair down. Let's say amen.
Okay.
He unifies the believers, and as a result, he's an ambassador of Christ. He leads the way God requires. How does he lead? He leads by example. We live in a world that needs some examples. The world we live in, the example should not be in sports. It should not be in politics. The example needs to first and foremost be in our household. And then when it comes to the body of Christ, there ought to be some examples that children follow in their everyday life. I don't know about you. I've been in Inglewood for the past couple months. They're building a stadium down there that is, it's out of this world. This thing is so humongous. And I'm saying, we can't wipe out homelessness. We can't wipe out poverty. And you done spent $100 million to make $200 million. Something wrong with that picture. But see, the true ambassador leads by example. And as I close, I want to show you how he leads. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, and round about verse number 11, Paul once again writes words to Timothy to encourage his heart, because Timothy is going to have some difficult times because of who he is and because of what he has obeyed. But Paul tells Timothy in verse 11, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hand of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, that thy lifestyle may be apparent to all. Verse 16, Paul tells Timothy, take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Powerful message that Paul writes to this young gospel preacher. And in conclusion, the prayer life of an ambassador ought to be first and foremost in his everyday life. He ought to pray without ceasing, and he ought to have a relationship with God that in the midst of everything that comes his way, he's not troubled, he's not in distress, and really, he remains steadfast and unmovable no matter what transpires. Paul would write these words to the church at Corinth, those very things that I just said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8, he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifested in our mortal body. For which cause we live also, we are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we have the same spirit of faith. This is pretty powerful because it tells me that you can't stop me. Only if I let you. For we have the same spirit of faith as according as it is written. I believe, therefore, and have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus from, raised up the Lord Jesus also by Jesus. I'm sorry. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many renown to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions is but for a moment, which worketh far more exceedingly eternal weight and glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen is temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. How about you this morning? How's your prayer life? Do you petition God with the spirit that God requires us to come? God wants each and every one of us, all of us, to be saved. Matter of fact, Peter said, God would that none perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart. I don't know about you. I'm learning how to pray in the midst of everything that goes on. You know why? Because I found out that that is the power of God. And if he can heal Hezekiah, do I believe it enough that he can heal me? A few years ago, I believed it. I'm still here. I'm still here. You know, I'm a living testimony that what God can do, if you get out of the way and let him do his job. I want to encourage you as members of the body of Christ, if you've fallen short of the glory of God, if you're having some difficulties in your everyday life, Jesus says, come to him and he'll take care of everything else. I don't mean he's going to take away the problem, but you know what? I'm learning. He helps me deal with a whole lot of stuff. And then wee-wee hours when no one's up but me and the Lord, that's the time that I can pour my heart out and he hears. And I know he hears. Those of you that are visiting that are not part of the body of Christ, you've heard the word of God this morning. Hope and pray you received it in the spirit. I've tried to send it. And that is in the spirit of love. Want everyone to be saved. God doesn't want no one to be lost. You've heard the word this morning, Romans 10:17. Question is, do you believe what I said? John chapter 20, verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples. They're not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe, and believe you might have eternal life. Bible says, repent of your sins, confess his name, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. He adds you to the body of Christ, and he makes you an ambassador for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.